Intervju Radija Študent.
Mary Halvorsen. Pogovarjali se bomo s kitaristko in skladateljico Mary Halvorsen, mlado umetnico iz lovišč improvizirane godbe, džezovskih vijug in rokovskega žaganja. Pogostost in raznorodnost njenih odrskih nastopov, število studijskih izdaj, ne nazadnje pa seveda njena zvočna suverenost in izvirni jezik, dajo slutiti, da je ena osrednjih likov v tem, kar se dan danes dogaja na bolj svobodnih obrobjih džezovske muzike. Včeraj je po 11 urah letalske vožnje skupaj z zasedbo Chess Meet and These Arches v zadnjem momentu prispela v klub Cankarjevega doma in po viharnem in izzivalnem nastopu nekaj minut namenila tudi poslušalcem vašega najljubšega radija.
Hello Mary.
Hi.
It was a great gig, rather tiring, but still the same. We are gonna be try to be reasonably short, so and you're probably tired and have little time, and I was thinking let's relate to that too. So you had a rather busy schedule the last few months, playing since winter almost every day, if I read correctly. So how do you take this quite brutal schedule?
Well, I managed to slip a vacation right in the middle. Yeah. I had 5 days off and I went to Mexico and I sat on the beach. Yeah. And that was excellent. And then I felt refreshed. But I guess the way I deal with it is I try to not think more than one day ahead. Because if you think about the whole thing at once, it's very overwhelming. But if you just think one day at a time, it's much easier.
That makes sense. But does, let's say, the whole thing, playing 15-20 days in a row, the more or less the same set, does it get repetitious maybe?
Not if you like the music. In fact, I find that if you play the same music over the course of a couple weeks, it really opens up and it goes to different places in a way that it couldn't if you only played it a few times. So actually I really like playing 15 days in a row. It's very nice.
The next question about finding the inspiration and for improvising after so many repetitions that it does not present any problem to come up with something new on the 14th evening.
You know, not necessarily. It doesn't get harder. It's just random. Some days you feel more inspired than other days. Mm-hmm. So you might have a few good days. You might have a day where you feel a little bit off or, you know, not quite as together. But it's an effort every day, but it's also a challenge, which is nice. Mm-hmm.
But are you actually forced to take this tempo? I mean, does living in New York demand that you don't say to yourself, okay, let's take a day off in Ljubljana, it's gonna be this nice spring day tomorrow?
Well, I guess you just take the days off where they come. Sometimes we do have days off. You know, I had a couple days off in Venice last year. That was nice. but it's really just, you know, you try to get as many performances as you can. And sometimes there's holes in the schedule. And then you have a day to explore a bit. But often it's just the way it works out.
But can you imagine yourself touring like this for another decade maybe?
That's a good question. I hope so. I mean, I really love it. Right now, I guess I'm going back to the thing of not thinking too far ahead.
Okay. What about?
I like it right now.
Okay. What about when switching between different band, different musical languages? How do you cope with that? And, well, let's say you got 15 days of these Arches, then one day off, then you go with Jessica, and then another band. When do you get to practice, actually, on stage?
I practice when I'm at home.
Yeah?
So right now I'm traveling a lot, but sometimes I'm not traveling a lot. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not traveling, that's when I really stay home and write music and practice. And then when I'm traveling, that's really the time to just go for it and try to play.
While you travel, do you actually listen to any music or you just feel overwhelmed by the whole thing?
I do listen to music sometimes.
Yeah.
I read a book. Sometimes jazz. Sometimes I need a break from it. I read a book. I've been learning French. I have French tapes, so I've been trying to do that as well.
Well, what about another thing? You got any problems with transferring luggage, the luggage left and right? I mean, luggage, your instrument.
Yeah.
I mean,
lots of problems.
Yeah. I mean, any particular bad experiences?
Well. The airline restrictions are getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. So the guitar is too big. I have a tiny guitar that I travel with. They still think it's too big. So often they'll make me check the guitar. Not often, but often I'll have to fight to take the guitar on board. And occasionally I have to check the guitar. Mm-hmm. So it's very stressful. Even Tony with the tenor saxophone, sometimes he gets problems. So it's getting really strict and it's getting more difficult, definitely.
But wasn't there a recent legislative victory concerning instruments in planes?
In the United States, there was a victory for that, where they basically, it says they have to allow you to carry a small musical instrument on board if there's space. If there's not space, you're still screwed. But if there's space, they have to let you. And there's a petition right now in the EU to try to have the same thing, but it won't go into effect until 2015.
Okay. So, but you said you got a fold-up guitar waiting for you. Well, can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I'm having a guitar builder that I know, really excellent guitar builder, is going to build me a guitar with a foldable neck. So the guitar will fold in half and I can put it in a suitcase and then I'll have no problems. So I'm looking forward to that. There's still two more guitars he needs to build before mine, so I'm on a waiting list. But maybe in the next year or two I'll have a guitar that folds in half.
Just when the legislator in comes off.
But I still really want to have it. I think it'll be much better for travel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of these tiny planes, you know, it's almost impossible. So.
Yeah, so you perform with your Guild guitar in Europe, or you haven't done that?
I do have a flight case for it, but it weighs about 50 pounds, and it's enormous, and then I have to carry it around. So I found this travel guitar that I bring on tour, and I like it. I don't like it quite as much as the Guild, but, you know, you have to make compromises somewhere. I don't want the Guild to get destroyed by the airlines, so.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, you're quite a sought-after musician in the last years, so when you got to choose between leading your own band and being a sideman, you probably prefer leading your own bands. So you got to pick and choose, and you say, okay, I'll play with you, not with you, or how does it go?
You know, I really like doing both. Like, I wouldn't want to only do my own bands. I really like playing other people's music. If I like the music, it's a great challenge, and it's really fun, and it's nice to not be in charge sometimes. So for me, it's about balance. It's about finding a balance. And also, I feel like I learn a lot from playing in other people's music. So I think that's a big part of how I grow as a musician, is trying to interpret and learn other people's music. So it's basically a big balancing act.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're playing with when you're leading your own bands, you mostly play with musicians from more or less your generation. So, but sometimes you play with quite the huge players. I mean, musical personas like Mark Ribó, Tim Byrne, Anthony Braxton. Does it present a problem to get on an equal footing, considering the generational gap and all that?
You know, that's one thing I find really nice about the music world and about musicians, is it never feels like everyone feels the same age. Mm-hmm. Everyone feels kind of ageless. And, you know, I feel like those people treat me like an equal, even though I'm much younger. And, you know, the same thing. Now I'm starting to get to the age where I'm playing with younger people. And it's nice because I have friends that are in their 70s and friends that are in their 20s and everything in between. And I really like that. I think that's something that happens a lot in the music world, which is kind of special.
And you also mentioned the gender difference when you were younger, that it was problematic. What about, have you noticed that in the recent years since you've found yourself a circle of musicians?
No, I never even really think about it. You know, it's definitely become mean, there's so many women doing this now, yeah. And I work with a ton of women and men, obviously. But it's nice because, you know, it was hard at first, maybe growing up, yeah. knowing no other females who were playing. But now it's a non-issue, and I really like that.
Well, I always did wonder. Do you think it's this negative attitude towards younger players that keeps the asymmetrical situation of women versus men players in jazz? Do you have any idea what's the thing, what's behind it?
I think often the reason women don't continue with it, or maybe don't start, is because it is all men doing it. So, you know, they might feel like none of their girlfriends are doing it. You know, when you're 13, 14, you want to hang out with your friends.
Yeah.
So I think it's hard because you don't have a support group or you don't have your peers doing it. So I think it's hard sometimes for women to get started in a male-dominated world at a young age. Yeah. And then at a certain point it stops mattering, but I think it's hard at first.
What about you? Your teacher, when you studying jazz, was the guitarist Jim Morris, and he said at one time that when he played with you, he played the bass, so as not to influence your voice. But now, well, obviously, you have developed your own thing. So, do you think of playing with him in a guitar context now? Do you plan on doing it, maybe?
Actually, I have a couple times, and we're actually going to play a duo in New York in August.
Yeah?
We've done that a couple times, and it's really wonderful for me because he's one of my favorite guitarists, obviously, and one of my biggest influences. And I have also played in a band with him with three guitars.
Okay.
And upright bass and violin.
Mm-hmm. That recorded anywhere or?
Not recorded. We've done a few gigs, but no recording yet.
Mm-hmm. So, how did it feel playing with your ex-teacher? Were you able to once again get on an equal footing?
I think so. I mean, I guess as time passes, you know, I feel like we're friends and we've known each other for a long time. So I think those boundaries kind of end up disappearing with time.
What's his stance on your saying that when studying jazz, the first thing you had to do was play something completely different?
What's his saying?
He was your teacher in the school that you were a bit annoyed with the whole jazz structures.
Right. Yeah, I think it was really refreshing for me to, you know, because I was spending a lot of time, which is very important. I still think it's very important to learn whatever traditional music you want to learn. I was learning jazz. But then it was also very important for me to get away from that and experiment and just throw it out the window for a couple of years. And Joe came to me at the perfect time for me to start doing that.
A lot of musicians, amongst others guitar players, said that when they wanted to develop their guitar skills, they tried to emulate not from guitar players, mm-hmm. but from musicians with other instruments. Mm-hmm. Do you maybe feel anywhere near about this?
Yeah, I think that's a great thing for guitarists to do, because it's so easy to just try to play like Bill Frisell, or you know, when I was in music school, there were about 10 Pat Metheny's in the school. So it's like, I think it's really good also for the guitar to try to transcribe some other instruments or be influenced by different stuff. It gives you a new sound, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I first heard you playing, I think it was on this stage, but I had the same reaction that a lot of reviewers of your stuff have, that your guitar has got sort of angular sound. Mm-hmm. Can you explain how come a lot of people have this same impression of your playing?
Well, I guess I really like that. I spent a long time working on intervallic stuff on guitars and wide leaps, and that could partly be coming from a love of Eric Dolphy and partly just from enjoying that sound on guitar. And I do a lot of interval work.
What are the current projects that you're working on? I mean, are there any... You got quite a regular cast of musicians around you. Are there any new things that you would really like to do or you are maybe doing currently?
Well, I wrote a bunch of music for a septet, and that record's coming out in August. And I have a couple of newish things, I guess. I just put out a record, a duo with a bassist, Stefan Crump. So we're going to do some touring around that record. And a new collective trio called Thumbscrew with guitar, bass, and drums with Michael Formanek and Toma Fujiwara.
Okay, so we're going to finish it off. So just one last question. I think a week or so ago, maybe more, John Zorn had his 60th anniversary, and there was just a ton of musicians and artists saying how much he influenced them and how much his presence was a big push for their creative stuff. What can you say about him?
He also has been a huge influence on me since college. You know, I was listening to him and you know, would drive to New York. I went to college in Connecticut. I'd drive to New York to hear a lot of music, and he was definitely one of the people who I was listening to quite a bit since the beginning. You know, he's a really prolific musician, and a really and not only that, but he does so much for the music community. Having a club, you know, having the Stone, having a label. He's very supportive of the community and all the musicians, and in addition to being a brilliant musician himself. So I have a lot of respect for him.
Well, thank you for your time, and well, rest as much as possible.
Thank you.
Till tomorrow morning. Goodbye.
Pogovarjali smo se z Mary Halvorson in z njo najprej rekli nekaj besed na temo muzičarskega dela, na kar smo se z njo po malem pogovorili še o njenem ustvarjalnem delovanju ter sodelovanju z ostalimi muzikanti. Za nekaj dodatnega občutka v njeni glasbi pa sledi še en kratek komad, naslovljen Scant Frame No. 2 iz plošče Dragon's Head.
Intervju Radija Študent.